Welcome back. 9 o'clock. Jim Davis, Sam the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thank you to Ray McLennan, Connor McGahey, Chris Dempsey. I know what I kind of like Kid Cool.
It's better because you came up with it.
I know. Well, it's, I just think Showtime. I just think Lakers.
Yeah, I mean,
I just do.
Different sport. Maybe you could get me, but
yeah, but not. And I get it. It's been a while, but and that was a collective. It wasn't one guy, but yeah, I'm with.
But
you
when you
on
think
that.
Showtime Lakers, it's one guy. When you
it's,
think
it's
of
magic.
Them,
it's magic. It's magic. Yeah, as great as Kareem was. James
he
Worthy.
Wasn't the
and,
show, they weren't the Showtime part of the Lakers.
He was.
When I think Showtime Lakers, in my mind, I see Magic running the point, no look, looking right, passing left to Worthy or Kareem or somebody else.
But the thought is, though,
it's Magic.
With him, though, his nickname was Magic.
Yeah.
And Showtime was the more of the collective, but when you but think the Lakers, though, but you think of him. I
when
mean,
you
that's,
think of Showtime Lakers, yeah, it's Magic. He's the first
magic.
One that comes to mind.
Absolutely. All right. Did we get a winner, by the way?
We did.
Oh, let's make this happen.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Dustin correctly identified 2012 as the last time before last night Rockies went back-to-back in extra innings.
So congratulations, Dustin. Well done. Yeah, I want to look at this. Let's see. Of course, you had last night Ryan McMahon and CJ Krohn in the 10th, both going back-to-back home runs last night. Previously, starting out back in the first time they did it in franchise history, to go back to 1996. It's August 10th at Atlanta. Andres Galarraga, the big cat, Vinny Castilla, back-to-back in the 10th, 9-7 Rockies win. And the last time was June 15th of 2012. This was at Detroit. Cargo and Michael Kadir, Cuddy, in the 10th inning of a 12-4 Rockies victory. Boy, they blew that one open, didn't they?
Yeah.
12-4 in the 10th back in 2012. So congratulations, Dustin. Job well done today. All right, Cody Rourke, the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, will get his thoughts leading up to tomorrow's draft. Broncos still on the clock at number 9. And so I thought today we'll do the Broncos picks. And then tomorrow we'll have the top 10. We'll include your Browns in that.
Top 10 and 26.
Sometimes I'm a kind dictator.
Yes. A benevolent dictator.
Benevolent, thank you. A benevolent dictator. So we'll
but
include
I'm a reluctant dictator.
Early this morning I was
not as reluctant.
Not as reluctant. Ready to crush you. Crush the rebellion, the rabbit hole crap you were taking us into on some of these things.
Jim Jong-un was ready to lead the country, to lead the brotherhood of the JD show.
To crush the rambling revolt that you had put together. Oh.
Just a poor peasant from the countryside.
Really? Poor peasant?
Yes.
From the countryside. Sure. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get to this. It's going to be... Tomorrow we'll do the top 10, like I said, in your Browns. And today, it's the Broncos picks. And start, of course, with the first round on the clock. The Broncos at number 9. Where? We have a trade.
Oh.
The Broncos make a trade with the Bears. Denver gives the Bears the 9th pick because they want a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the Broncos don't necessarily want a quarterback, but I have them going in a different direction with
but you love
some of this.
You some Kellen Mond, too.
Yeah. So Denver gets the 20th pick. They also get the Bears' second-round pick, their 52nd pick in the second round.
Okay.
So they're swapping first-round picks. Denver gets the...
An additional second.
I just kept it very simple.
Okay.
So, with the 20th pick, the Broncos take Virginia Tech offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw. Now, a lot of people like Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, but a lot of people project him as being better at guard, being more of a guard than an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Darrisaw is the second-ranked tackle in this draft behind Penei Sewell of Oregon.
He played with a significant groin injury, and he had a core muscle surgery this offseason, too. So how is that going to affect his development? That's my question. That's my question mark about Darrisaw.
But here's the thing. You've got Juwan James this year. You're going to have time.
Maybe.
You're hoping.
Yeah.
Time for Darrisaw to recover, work himself into the rotation.
Okay.
So it's great in pass protection, can play either tackle. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously a plus. Great finisher in the run game. Did not give up a sack this past season for Virginia Tech.
Interesting.
So Pro Football Network, they rate him as the second best tackle behind Penei Sewell. So that's what I have in the first round. A trade to Chicago. Denver gets their right tackle of the future in Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech.
So the way that I have tomorrow's first round going, that I only have one trade tomorrow for the top 10.
Okay.
So I think the Broncos stay at 9, and I think the only quarterback available for them is Trey Lance. And I think they like Trey Lance. I don't know if they love Trey Lance, but I think they will feel the heat and take a quarterback. I think they take Trey Lance, North Dakota State QB, at 9 overall.
Okay. Move to the second round, 40th pick.
Mm-hmm.
I know they went out and they got Kyle Fuller. They got Ronald Darby. I get that.
We're going in the same direction.
Michael Ojemudia had improved a ton toward the end of the regular season. But to me, it's the league where you got to have guys that can cover.
Yep.
And why not a guy that has some pretty good bloodlines? Florida State cornerback Asante Samuel Jr. Great cover skills, ultra competitive, 29 pass breakups in 3 seasons. Not the biggest corner, not a tall, lanky corner, but I like the coverage skills. I have Asante Samuel Jr. going 40th in the second round of the Broncos.
I have the exact same guy going 40. Asante Samuel Jr. I'm kind of surprised. A lot of the mocks I've seen still have him available there, and I don't. After Farley and Surtain are off the board, I don't think you can pass up another one at 40.
So we stay in the second round. This is the pick from the Bears, the 52nd pick in the second round. This is where I take my guy Kellen Mond. Athletic, above average arm, really good pocket presence. You know, some things obviously needs to work on, but I think Kellen Mond is the kind of guy. Is he going to come in right away and take the job from Drew Lock? Probably not, because I also think, and I didn't include this in my ideas here, don't be shocked to see the Broncos make a trade with the Panthers to get Teddy Bridgewater. Don't fall asleep on that, and that's where you would have a lot of bases covered. Got Teddy Bridgewater that maybe steps in this season if Drew Lock can't get it done, and then you got Kellen Mond to develop as well behind. He was still a relatively young Teddy Bridgewater at the age of 28. So that's what I have in the second round, Kellen Mond from Texas A&M as my selection.
I'm moving down into the third round. My next selection is the Broncos' 71st overall pick. I think they keep it because, like I said, I don't have any trades for the Broncos.
Right.
The guy I have here, he's falling down draft boards like I fall downstairs. He was projected as a first rounder, but with some really kind of juicy quotes in the Athletic's Bob McGinn profile. Of Christian Barmore being available at 71 overall, the defensive tackle from Alabama.
I stay defense. I don't go tackle, though. Mm-hmm. I do go linebacker. And I go Jabril Cox, LSU. I think he goes down, drops down to the third round.
I've seen that.
3 down backer, outstanding. Look, what are they talking about? They need an inside linebacker that can cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jabril Cox is that guy. Also interesting thing, he was with Trey Lance in North Dakota State at one point and then left and went to LSU.
Intriguing.
But outstanding at rushing the quarterback as well. 3 down backer. They need that kind of guy inside. I've got Jabril Cox with the 71st pick in the third round.
From moving on to the fourth round, 114th overall, where the Broncos would be picking there. I have them picking up a guy that can help out Melvin Gordon in the backfield. I have them picking North Carolina's Michael Carter. He had 3,400 rushing yards at North Carolina, I believe, as that's the number. He was also on the Senior Bowl, 60 yards and a touchdown for his team, 28 touchdowns career at North Carolina. Can do a little bit out of the backfield, but not a ton. But he can carry the rock. I think that's not a bad value pick in the fourth round.
like I said before, we were talking last hour about the defense. You can't fall asleep on the defense.
Right.
That's why I got Jabril Cox. Fourth round, pick 114, Syracuse safety Andre Sisco. Outstanding in coverage. Got some size limitations in the run game. Fast, physical, athletic. Also a guy coming off, like Darashaw, coming off an injury. But I have Andre Sisco as my eventual replacement, obviously, for Kareem Jackson going forward. I've got Sisco out of Syracuse at the safety spot in the fourth round.
In the fifth round at 152 overall, the Broncos, I think this is where they kind of start to beef up the offensive line a little bit. And it's a guy that, you know, much like yours, he's going to need maybe a little bit, quite a bit more development. But I've seen him go in the fourth, fifth round if he's still available. Tommy Doyle, the tackle out of Miami University. Not the U.
Not the U.
This is Miami University.
The Red Hawks.
The Red Hawks in central, mid, somewhere in middle of nowhere, Ohio, for Tommy Doyle, 152 overall.
152, fifth round. Adding more potential starter at some point, maybe, but he also can play on special teams. South Carolina inside linebacker Ernest Jones, really good against the run. Coverage skills, but he's outstanding against the run. Good fit as a 3-4 inside backer and has been a contributor on special teams at South Carolina. I've got him as my fifth pick, 152.
Got a guy that is projected to be a guard in the NFL. They say he's explosive and he gets movement run blocking, but he kind of lumbers around the field. I have Robert Hainsey, the guard from Name, going in the sixth round, 191 overall. Broncos, again, can never have too many good offensive linemen. I think he can beef up with value picks in the later round.
Sixth round, I go running back here at 191. It's Oregon State running back Jamar Jefferson. Got good vision, doesn't go down easy. Guy that had 226 yards in their win over Oregon this past season. A guy that certainly at times looks like he could have maybe been up in the second round potentially as a draft pick. Consistency is an issue with Jamar Jefferson, but a guy that certainly can step in and maybe be a backup at some point to Melvin Gordon, depending on what happens with Melvin Gordon going forward.
And much like we were talking about with offensive linemen, you can never have too many good linebackers. And this one would just be fun for me, because I want the Broncos, just so you have to say his name, to take Oklahoma State linebacker Amen Ogbonbemidje at the seventh round. Yes, Ogbonbemidje from Nigeria.
Ogbonbemidje.
237 overall. That.
And how long did you practice that, by the way?
It's been a while. I was working on it last night. And they say he has some late reacting in coverage, but that's something you can teach. But he's got a good head for run defense, is what they say, according to Pro Football Network.
Okay, seventh round, 237. I've got Marshall offensive tackle Josh Ball. This guy was a four-star recruit at Florida State. Had a lot of off-the-field issues. Then went to Butler Community College and then ended up at Marshall. Guy 6'7". He's a first-team American Conference pick. Guy very smart, picks up assignments quickly. But there's the off-the-field issues in the past or some things that continue to kind of plague him and will probably drive him down in this draft a little bit to the seventh round. But you've got Darasaw, you've got Ball. Mm-hmm. You can never have enough depth on your offensive line to tackle spot. Got those two guys right there.
I go linebacker again. Two picks later at 239. I'm going to make Andy happy a little bit. He had a Denver Post profile on this kid almost 2 months ago. Alani Petutau, that's probably wrong. I'm guessing that's wrong.
Works
out
for
of
me.
Adam State.
Oh.
A Grizzly. He's
You're going Armac D2.
Well, I saw at least five different mocks that had him drafted at some point in the seventh round. Hey, good for him.
Really good. Good for the conference.
Yeah, can he pitch? Sorry.
Okay. Wow.
That's not very nice. I'm sorry,
wow.
Andy.
Wow. Andy, I'm sorry. What a jerk.
I know. I couldn't be too nice. That's just not like me.
Okay, stop. Stop now. Stop. Stop. Tired apologizing for you. Seventh round, 239. Going Notre Dame offensive guard Tommy Kramer. First team all ACC. He was a member of the 2017 Joe Moore Outstanding Offensive Line. Got out, get big guy. I like him in the seventh round. I still feel like you got to keep developing talent on the offensive line. And what if Glasgow doesn't pan out? Muti is obviously there for the Broncos. Guy got a little action last year.
A little bit, yeah.
Out of Fresno State. But got playing a really good offensive line. Hope to get his team into the college football playoffs.
If you're going to have a young quarterback, you got to have a good offensive line in front of him. That's going to help out a ton. And because we saw what happened when even Patrick Mahomes had a bad offensive line.
Oh,
he looked
yeah.
pedestrian. My final pick, 253 overall in the seventh round, I have Oregon safety Brady Breeze going to the Broncos. Can never have too many Breezes, even though it's spelled different.
It's true. And my final pick, 253, going to go with Mustafa Johnson out of the University of Colorado. Okay, it's not going to make everybody feel better about Philip Lindsay, I'm sure.
At least he got drafted.
But great run stopper, big body up front. They need to add to that defensive line. I like Mustafa Johnson as my final pick in this draft.
I like it.
So there we go. Yeah. That's it. That's our Broncos mock draft. We'll get his thoughts about what his mock draft looks like for the Broncos. Got Cody Rourke coming up next, the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. That's on the way in just a moment. So we'll also have garbage time coming up in this day in sports history. But we've got some thoughts about our selections today. And then tomorrow we'll do the top 10, including the Browns tomorrow on the program. Don't forget Ryan Harris will be with us tomorrow as well in the 9 o'clock hour. Also, Wendy McCaskill, Palisade volleyball coach, will have her on the nice. Show tomorrow as well.
I had to do my two together. You know, I couldn't have the Broncos take somebody at 9 today and then have a different name in the top 10 mock for tomorrow. So I had to do mine together.
Okay.
So mine's already ready to go for tomorrow.
Very That's good.
Surprising for me.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'll try not to do that too often, but
I got to finish crafting my one because I spent a lot of time focusing on this one yesterday. So, All right. Set 9:17. We will take a break. We'll come back and Cody Rourke. We'll talk draft next right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
.920, Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Want your thoughts about the Pioneer League, Grand Junction Rockies. They will no longer play extra innings, at least not this season anyway. Could change. It will be basically knockout. It'll be home run derby is how they will determine who wins in beyond nine innings. I've still been looking to see who's going to pitch. Because the idea of this is to save pitching, right?
Right.
Well, then who's going to be pitching? Is it a coach that throws BP?
And exactly.
Like with home run derby at the Major League All-Star game, do you get to pick your guy and your guy throws to you? Or how is that going to work?
That's my question. Who's throwing?
Who throws? Yeah, is it the other team's coach or whoever player throws BP normally? Is he going to throw to you?
And then that's because he just airmail five pitches to the backstop.
Right.
And we're here all night.
So I'm making the assumption on this without seeing the actual answer to this that it's probably your coach that throws BP, guy that throws BP on your team, that's the guy that will be throwing to you. And likewise for the other team, this whole thing. But they're going to use knockout home run derby for the Pioneer League. Do you like that idea? Text or call us 970-242-1340. Tomorrow night on the team, we'll have coverage of the NFL draft. Joining us right now, he's been looking at it from every angle. Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke. Cody, appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
I'm good, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me. It is draft eve. I mean, this is... I think if you're really just a sports fan, this is almost like Christmas Eve in a sense. We know that the big day is coming tomorrow. I know for my own perspective, just loving the game of football, I'm excited to see how tomorrow is going to go, not just for the Broncos, but for every team. It's going to be a wild ride, though, so buckle up and prepare.
First round, ninth overall pick. What do you think happens tomorrow for the Broncos?
Part of me, I'm very hard-pressed to think that they're not going to look quarterback here, Jim. And the reason I say that is because they're not completely sold on Drew Lock. Now, George Payton has said, look, we're high on Drew, but our goal is to bring in competition. I think that Denver is going to go the rookie quarterback route, and they're going to bring in a guy to compete with Drew. And be honest with you, if that guy is Justin Fields, Jim, I think Fields is the easy penciled-in day-one starter. Yes, there'll be a title headline that there is a training camp competition, but Fields will more than likely be the guy. And he's got that high cerebral IQ. He can learn a playbook very, very fast. I mean, out of all the quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft, his IQ and Wonderlic, he scored off the charts in comparison to others. So, when I look at where Denver's at, I wouldn't be surprised if we see them trade up to 6 and see the Dolphins drop back to number 9 just so they can get him, because I do believe that Mac Jones or Trey Lance, they're going at number 3 to San Francisco.
Cody Rourke, host of Locked On Broncos podcast, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So your Fields, and it'll be Lock, and that one. So we won't see a veteran quarterback. We wouldn't see possible trade for Teddy Bridgewater or anything like that. They would be comfortable with those two guys battling it out for the starting quarterback job.
Yeah, and I don't even think that Teddy Bridgewater is much of an option for Denver right now unless he's willing to restructure his contract. One thing that I do know that I've been told is that the Broncos will not take on his $10 million guaranteed contract, because if there is a chance that if he were the guy, if the Broncos brought in Teddy Bridgewater to compete with Drew, there is no way that they want to pay $10 million to a guy who could be the backup quarterback. It just doesn't make sense financially. And with where Denver is at, George Payton has been very tight-lipped about what he's going to do. He hasn't even told anybody what his plan is just yet. So I part of me really does believe, Jim, that the writing's on the wall, that I think Denver's going to go QB at this option. I think they might either stay put at 9 or trade up to a couple spots. And I think that they're going to go the rookie route.
Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, with us. So you feel like it'll be Fields. The Broncos will stay at 9, maybe trade up to get Justin Fields out of Ohio State. What about in the second round? What do you see happening there for the Broncos?
Well, I see them going, linebacker. I see them going with, one of the top guys. I think Zaven Collins would be an option there. I know Denver is very intrigued by him. Will he be available there? Because now you factor in the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, they've got an additional first-round pick, and they're even rumored to be looking at linebacker to pair alongside Patrick Queen. So, Jamin Davis is one of those guys that comes to mind. I'm not quite sold just yet. I don't think that Denver's going to go on the offensive side of things in round number 2. I would be very perplexed if they did that. I just don't see it happening. So I think it's going to be linebacker or cornerback, but they're going to look to address the depth on the defense and work to develop guys. And the hope is that if the Broncos win games, Vic Fangio will still be around. So they want to build a defense. They want to build depth with guys that they feel like can contribute either next season or even maybe sometimes in situations this year.
What direction do they go in the third round, in your opinion?
I wouldn't be surprised if we even see them do a trade in round number 3, maybe even round 2. Just to acquire maybe an additional third or even a fourth-round pick in this year's draft. From what I know and from what we see from George Payton historically, the Vikings, they've always wanted to have 10 or more picks. It gives them the best opportunity to maybe hit on half of their picks. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that happen in round 2 or round 3. And historically, the last couple of years, Denver has orchestrated some trades to be able to get additional second and third-round picks. I think that Denver's really going to try to do a lot of that work. They may even give some of their seventh-round picks. They might hold on to one, but I see Denver maneuvering to get a few more picks in the upper half of this year's NFL draft.
Who is the late-round pick you think Denver makes that will be kind of that sleeper pick, that guy that could have, I don't say he has to be TD, and be a Hall of Famer, but a guy that will be a late-round pick in this year's draft that could end up being a big impact player starter for this team going forward? Who is that guy for you?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I've been talking about this all week, and I think that Derek Barnes, linebacker out of Purdue, is one of the guys that's going to be the biggest steal in this year's NFL draft for a late-round pickup. I think he has the absolute potential to be a very good inside linebacker, and just picturing him in Vic Fangio's defense, the way that he's worked with guys in the past, and the historic linebackers he's had with Navarro Bowman and various other guys, Patrick Willis, I think that Derek Barnes could be that next guy that Vic Fangio really molds, and I think that they could get him maybe even in round 3. I think they might go that route, especially if they don't go linebacker in round 2. I think Derek Barnes is a real legitimate option for Denver.
Do you see them taking a corner in this draft?
Yes, I do. I think depth is super important, and when you factor in just the several players that, you know, have injuries right now. You've got Duke Dawson working his way back from a complete knee. It's not just an ACL. It's an ACL, MCL, LCL, PCL, and meniscus. He's there. Saying Bassey, he's making great progress in his recovery. Kevin Tolliver's also making good progress in his ACL as well. But then you have Ronald Darby. You have Michael Ojemudia as a second-year guy. You have Kyle Fuller. And then Bryce Callahan coming back. Denver's going to have to add some depth at cornerback because they were tested with it last year. And in years past, they've dealt with that. They're more than likely going to have 6 to 7 cornerbacks on the roster and maybe one or two guys that can play both corner and safety. So keep an eye on that for the Broncos this year in the draft.
Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke joining us today on the eve of the NFL draft. Another thing that certainly will probably be looked at by the Broncos, you mentioned linebacker, addressing that with the pick you mentioned earlier. But what about the safety spot? Because Kareem Jackson back for the one-year deal. Of course, Justin Simmons, he is locked down now long-term. But what about finding that replacement in this year's draft for Kareem Jackson? Will that be any kind of draft priority for the Broncos starting with tomorrow's first round?
I think it's very possible that they look at that. I don't know if they're going to go safety in round one unless they trade back into round one, but there are some really good safeties that will be there in round two. I don't think that Trevon Moehrig out of TCU, I don't think he's going to make it out of round one. I think he's going to go to Jacksonville. He's going to go in the 25 to maybe the 29 range in the draft tomorrow night. Outside of that, there's Richie Grant. The Broncos are very high in him. They got a chance to see him up close and personal at the Senior Bowl. He's an option for them. But there's also another in-house option. You know, Duke Dawson is that hybrid cornerback safety guy. You know, he's a former second-round pick. The Broncos have a lot invested in him. They're going to wait and see how his recovery comes along. But also on the in-house side of things, there is Michael Ojemudia, who has played safety before, started off as a safety at Iowa before having to make the move to corner because they were down on cornerbacks. And so I just had an interview with him this past week on Monday's episode of Lockdown Broncos. We just talked about his evolution coming in as a rookie and his expectations in year two. I think there's a real legitimate chance that the Broncos maybe look at putting him as an understudy to Kareem Jackson at safety if, in fact, they do add some more cornerback depth in this year's NFL draft.
He hosts the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Cody Rourke joining us today as we preview tomorrow's first round and the rest of the NFL draft. And, Cody, let's talk about tomorrow night's first round of the draft. Number one pick, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. I don't think there's going to be any surprise there. It's going to be Zach Wilson out of BYU at number two. Supposedly, according to Kyle Shanahan, they love all five of these quarterbacks. Who do you think who will get the rose from Kyle Shanahan and be the selection of the 49ers tomorrow night at pick number three?
Well, I'll tell you what, Kyle Shanahan had a very interesting press conference this week. And the fact that when he was asked about Jimmy Garoppolo, that, you know, hey, there's no guarantee, you know, anyone's going to be alive on Sunday. That to me was kind of...
It's pretty dark. It was a dark turn by Kyle, wasn't it? Like, geez, man.
You know, he's the hitman. He's got that cold mentality to him. But, you know, I think just based on what I've heard from guys like Tony Pauline, Trey Wingo, and various other people connected with the 49ers, I really do feel like it is going to be Mac Jones. I think it's going to be Mac Jones. It's between he and Trey Lance. And Spike Kyle Shanahan saying, hey, we like five quarterbacks. Well, and they said that they felt comfortable maybe staying at 12, but they wanted to be sure. That tells me they weren't really comfortable with knowing that a guy that they wanted was going to fall to them. So they propelled themselves up. And look, if it is Mac Jones, it is a big-time gamble, in my opinion, for Kyle Shanahan. But if they can get him to incorporate in that offense, he does have really good pocket mobility, being able to stand there and maneuver. I could see that. Trey Lance, in my opinion, I think in terms of his athletic traits, would be a great fit for them. I'm just still surprised that it's probably not going to be Justin Fields to San Francisco. That, to me, is one of the more intriguing things, considering the Shanahan offense and just, you know, Fields' athletic traits and tools. He's more ready, in my opinion, than a guy like Trey Lance or even a Mac Jones. So it's going to be between those two guys, though, apparently. But then again, you know, Jim, we've seen some crazy things happen in the NFL. It's told between one or two guys, all of a sudden it's somebody else. So I think we're all just going to be sitting and waiting and seeing how things go. But that's the vibe right now with San Francisco. And I think if that's the case, I think the board will fall well for Denver.
Of the teams that are currently picking in the top 10, which one, in your opinion, based on past history or who's there now in terms of general manager, of their scouting department, things like that, which team of the 10 is the most likely to screw it up tomorrow night?
Well, you know, part of me is thinking Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati might be the one team. And I get it. The appeal of having Joe Burrow play with his former teammate, Ja'Marr Chase, who is, you know, the best wide receiver in this year's NFL draft, I just, it's hard for me to kind of really see that. When you look at the big old scar that Joe Burrow has on his knee from ACL surgery, I mean, Jim, how many times did we see highlights last year of Joe Burrow absolutely just getting blasted and having these big-time hits where they think he's hurt, and then all of a sudden, you know, he does have the big injury? That offensive line is very raw, and if I'm any organization, if I'm a competent general manager, I'm saying, look, Joe Burrow is our investment as a franchise quarterback. We need to protect him. T. Higgins is going to evolve in his second year as a wide receiver. He was pretty good for them last year. They will be fine there, but they need to build that offense around Joe Burrow, and I'm sorry, you can't throw to your wide receivers if you're in a hospital bed and getting hit in the leg or getting hit up high and constantly getting hurt. I mean, that offensive line did him no help last year, and it would be very negligent, in my opinion, for the Bengals to pass up on a Penei Sewell or even a Rashawn Slater. I know the two best tackles in this year's NFL draft.
Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos podcast host with us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. All right, tomorrow night, how will Cody Rourke be spending the first night of the NFL draft? Hunkered down in your own personal war room? What does that look like for Cody Rourke tomorrow night?
Oh, man, yes, I'm definitely going to be in my war room. I have two different desktops up, you know, in my studio, and, you know, got the draft connected to it. I'll be on some TV stuff with Tegna, you know, reacting to the Broncos pick. We've got a live broadcast with the Draft Network tomorrow, so once the Broncos make the pick, they're getting me on in the studio in Atlanta, and I've got to dial everything up. So it's going to be very busy, very hectic, and then obviously after the draft and, you know, the conclusion around one, got to record the podcast so that Broncos fans have something to listen to Friday to kind of recap some of the action from round one. So it's going to be busy, Jim, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm eager to hear what you have going on.
All right. Well, live is just going to be taken in tomorrow night. Not quite quite the war room setup that you have, I might say, but but going to be taken in tomorrow night, and probably, like I said, a more informal. Tomorrow night's not so much a work night for me as it is for you. You got a lot of stuff you're doing tomorrow night, but it'll be more of a chill night for me. But looking forward to the draft tomorrow night. Whatever happens for the Broncos, I'm excited about tomorrow night. And if it's Justin Fields, that'll be fantastic. If that's the direction Denver goes with the ninth pick tomorrow night. Cody, people want to listen to your podcast. What, Spotify? They can find it at any place you get your podcast normally, correct?
Yeah, you can get it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the brand new Odyssey app, AUDACY. You know, it's really user friendly. It's got news on there, sports, and you can just listen to, you know, radio as well on there. So, a lot of great features on there, and you know, and we got it to you Monday through Friday. So we have you covered with daily Broncos news, content, and coverage.
Is there a chance we can get you Friday morning for a few minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like, I mean, your plate's very, very full, and we appreciate any little...
Yeah, when
any
does
little...
Thursday end for you, Cody? What time is Thursday going to end, do you think?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, you're probably around 2 a.m., but I'm good.
you'll Red Bull it, you'll Monster Energy it, you'll
Bull,
do something,
Mountain
right?
Dew, you'll be good.
You'll be good, man. You'll caffeine yourself up, and you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm always ready. This is my favorite time of the year because, you know, a lot of work goes into it, and, you know, it kind of all pays off, and I encourage Broncos fans to check out that behind-the-scenes, behind-the-Broncos YouTube video that they posted yesterday, because it really goes through and, you know, they blur the screen out so you can't see what prospects are talking about. But it really gives fans and football fans just a general insight how organizations evaluate talent. I tell you, it's very revealing. It's very eye-opening. And you can, you know, I think that's a great way to pass time before the NFL draft tomorrow. So hop on that.
All right. Very good. Cody, I appreciate it. We'll plan it for Friday morning, maybe same time, 9:20. That work for you?
Yep, works great for me, Jim.
Great. Well, I appreciate the insight. Thank you so much. Make sure to check out his podcast, Locked On Broncos. That's Cody Rourke. Thanks, Cody.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Cody Rourke.
Get an IV of espresso on one arm, IV of some adrenaline on the other.
Yeah, so we can get him back and give his thoughts about the first round, who the Broncos take. And
get your Red Bull Mountain Dew cocktail going. Right. Yeah.
All right. Appreciate that. Cody Rourke. Great stuff. Has really kind of grown his podcasts.
Podcast and empire.
Exactly. And obviously the amount of Broncos information that he cranks out is truly impressive. We appreciate him coming on the program. All right, 9:36. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Let's see. We've asked you about the Pioneer League, the knockout rule. They're going to use the home run derby to resolve extra inning games. Got... let's see, one from Jim this morning. Good morning, fellas. I'm fine with home run derby at the minor league level. Like Andy said, it's kind of a quirky league anyway, and I wonder if they're just going to leave it up to the coaches to pick the pitcher. So much about the Rockies not winning on the road at all this year. Huh, Rio? Huh, Buckeye?
I asked the question, are they going to win? And I was wrong. The answer is a resounding no. They're going to be, at worst, 1-40 on the road. So that's good. There's positivity abounds, I guess.
All right, Bri Guy. Morning, guys. On the eve of the draft, the question the pile is dying to know is, have you finally watched the all-time classic sports movie Draft Day? Because you have not watched it.
Nope.
And this is about your Browns. I mean, this is...
Yep.
I'll be honest, I've never watched it. I don't know. Bri Guy? I don't know. Maybe.
I don't need a love story popping up in the middle of my draft. You know? Fall in love with the players, not some chick in the office. Or allegedly. I don't know. I'm very vague on the plot of the movie to where, one, I know how the real movie ends.
And it's not good.
Time, it's usually not
good. It's Titanic.
Yeah. And the sad thing is they bring the ship up at the start of every year and then just sink it again, except for last year, which was so weird to handle. Usually I know my football season is over by Halloween at the latest. That's one of the reasons. And there have now been sports movies about two of Cleveland's three teams, and both teams don't win jack. The movie ends with Costner like wandering off into the sunset with Jen Garner, allegedly. I don't know. Still haven't seen it. And getting the guy. But it doesn't. There's no draft day two to where the guy leads them to anything. And in Major League, they don't win the World Series. They end up losing anyway.
So you know how this...
Yeah.
It doesn't end in a
positive... I want
positive,
the protagonists to win something at the end of my sports movie.
Chris Berman was in it. Mel Kiper's in it. Gruden's in it. Do you remember the name of the Kevin Costner Cleveland Browns GM?
Phil Savage?
Sonny Weaver Jr.
Sashi Brown?
You have...
John Dorsey?
Mike Mayock's in this film. Deion Sanders. Those are some of the
names.
Is
this talking me into it or talking me out of it?
And I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to persuade. I'm just relaying information. That's all I'm doing. Dennis Leary is in it. I think he's...
I always liked Dennis Leary.
Is he the coach of the Browns?
I don't know.
I'm looking here to see what role he plays, because it says he plays a coach. Terry Crews is Earl Jennings.
We're getting close.
Hall of Fame Browns legend.
We got a lot of those.
Larry's the coach of the Browns.
Oh, hey.
He's Vince Penn, coach of your Cleveland Browns.
You know, they should have let Dennis Leary coach the real Browns instead of Hugh Jackson. Do you think Dennis Leary would have gone 0-16 as coach of the Browns?
No. No, he would have found a way to win a game.
He would have found a way to accidentally win a game somewhere.
Sam Elliott's in this.
Oh.
Sam Elliott is the coach at the University of Wisconsin. He's Coach Moore.
Can I get just a supercut of Dennis Leary and Sam Elliott, and then watch the movie?
That'd be great.
And I don't need to see anything else. And maybe Terry Crews in there, too.
A film that I did not realize he was in. The late Chadwick Boseman.
Really?
Plays Ohio State linebacker.
I knew Vontae I liked that guy.
Vontae Mack.
I knew I liked Chadwick Boseman for some reason. He probably was fantastic. It's not enough to get me to see the movie.
Frank Langella's the guy that owns the Browns. He's Anthony Molina. So those are some of the people. It's actually Jennifer Garner's, Ali Parker, Sonny's love interest. Even though Costner...
That's outkicking his coverage to use a football term.
It's like he's dating his daughter
or
something.
Yeah, she's like 25, 30 years younger than him. It's a little weird.
Because Roseanne Arquette plays his ex-wife in the film.
Doesn't Jen Garner also work for the Browns?
Yeah, she's the finance manager.
Yeah,
so
first of all, that's also kind of icky a little bit.
Arian Foster's in it. Doesn't play himself. He plays Ray Jennings.
Hey, Arian Foster sighting. We haven't had one of those.
Florida State running back.
A while.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, pass. I'm good.
I don't know. Ray Lewis is in it. Jim Brown is in it.
Oh, ooh, it might get me there.
Roger Goodell is in it.
Roger Goodell's in Cleveland already.
Bernie Kosar's in it.
As himself?
As himself, yes. As himself.
Burn, baby. Ooh. I love me some Bernie Kosar. I know he kind of goes off the deep end every once in a while, but God, they were fun when he was the quarterback until January.
Do you know who they originally were going to film this movie, the team? It wasn't Cleveland was not the first
choice. Was it going to be the Broncos?
No.
Oh, the Jags?
Somebody else and their favorite team that works with us.
Steelers?
Buffalo Bills.
Oh.
But they moved it to Cleveland because the production costs were cheaper in Ohio.
It's because they shot the first Avengers battle scene in Cleveland. At the very end. It was not New York.
It has become the new Hollywood, Cleveland.
The aliens, the Chitauri, attacked Cleveland and no one noticed. They blew up half the city.
Wait, they destroyed half the city? Didn't even notice.
And people in the Heights and Shaker Heights were like, oh, who cares?
Okay. Well, who cares? All right, 9:43. Let's get to this day in sports history. So I take it you're still not a hard no, but just a, I don't think so.
If I got 2.5 hours to kill and there's no baseball, football, basketball, hockey, tennis, soccer, wrestling on.
Okay.
Sure. That's
a no.
And I've already seen all the Star Wars, Star Trek, Avengers,
okay,
DC
movies. I think I get the idea. This day in sports history, 1966, Red Auerbach wins his 8th straight NBA title as coach of the Celtics.
Is that good? That's good, right?
That's pretty good. Do you think Michael Chiklis is going to play him in that Showtime movie? Do you see that?
Chiklis as the commish? No. Chiklis as the guy from the Shield? Yeah, okay.
Okay, sure. Beat the Lakers 95-93 in Game 7. 8 straight NBA titles. Auerbach announced his retirement earlier. Bill Russell takes over as head coach, player coach initially. First black head coach of a major U.S. sports team. 1967, Muhammad Ali refuses induction into the U.S. Armed Forces. His protests to the Vietnam conflict. 1990, Boston Celtics route New York Knicks with a record-setting game. Boston set the single-game NBA playoff records for scoring and shooting accuracy and a 157-128 route of the Knicks to take a 2-0 lead in their first-round series. 95, Orlando Magic give Boston their worst defeat in team history. All these things have been big Celtic moments. They're on the whooping end of this one. Penny Hardaway and those guys.
Oh, nice.
Would have been Penny and Shaq. 124? 95. 124-77 playoff win. Magic over the Boston Celtics.
I like
Celtics.
The one before that with the Knicks, because that's pure Knicks to score 121 points and still lose by almost 30.
Yeah. 95, Michael Jordan scores 48 points in his first playoff game since coming out of retirement. Bulls beat the Hornets 108-100.
Kids tell me he was pretty good, too.
Yeah. Good enough for Dr. J to put him on his team.
Yeah. Apparently.
2016 LA Rams select California quarterback Jared Goff with the number one pick in the NFL draft. There we go.
Is that a bust? Is he a bust or not? Because he went to the Super Bowl.
He's not a bust because, he got him to the Super Bowl. His numbers have not been horrible. It's not like they didn't lean on him some in terms of offensive success, right? It wasn't.
Right. I mean, I know their defense was pretty decent, but
he wasn't Trent Dilfer in the Ravens. Okay, it wasn't
right.
I'll be honest. I think Jared Goff kind of got a raw deal with the Rams.
42-27,
not bad.
18,000 yards in 5 seasons for the Rams. 107 touchdowns, 55 interceptions. Career QBR or not a QBR career rating of 91.5. That's pretty good. 11. He went 0-7 as a rookie because they were
for Sean McVay. He didn't feel like Goff could play at an Aaron Rodgers level or a Brady level or a Mahomes level.
11-4, 13-3, 9-7, 9-6.
I think he had a raw deal personally.
And it's not like he was injured a ton.
No.
Outside of his rookie year, he played 15 games or more.
You know, he got hurt this last season. But
he still played in 15 games.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just think he got a raw deal with the Rams. I do. We'll see how things go in Detroit for him.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see if this might be the kind of thing that lights a big fire under him. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what because he's got to step into the shoes of Matthew Stafford. But even then, they're telling you, the Lions might draft a quarterback. Well, Jared Goff is what, 26 now?
Yeah, he won't turn 27 until October.
He's not horrible. I don't get that. He's not. I would have loved to seen him in Denver, to be quite honest, with the numbers he's put up the last couple of years.
He's kind of in a bad spot, too, because everybody's like, Jared Goff was this big bust in L.A.
But he wasn't.
But now if he goes to Detroit, it's a not as good a team as the Rams. And if he struggles because the team around him is worse.
See, he told you.
He's a bust.
He's a bust, and that's not fair.
He's kind of screwed. That's not fair at all.
The classic damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. I kind of feel bad for the guy because he's not that bad of a quarterback.
No, I always thought he was pretty
good. He's like Derek Carr. He's consistent. He's not spectacular. Mm-hmm. He's not, like I said, he's not Rodgers. He's not Mahomes. He's not one of those guys.
He's 15 games over 500 in 5 years, including an 0-7 campaign.
And helped get the Rams to a Super Bowl. All right, 9:48. We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap it up some garbage time. That's on the way next on the Jim Davis Show. On the Team Sports Network.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps? The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 9:51. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Busy show tomorrow. Wendy McCaskill, coach of the Palisade volleyball team. They'll be at home on Saturday for a regional. So we'll talk with her on tomorrow's program. I believe 7:40 for that one. Also on tomorrow's show, going to look at the calendar to see. Crowder College coach, Travis Lallemand.
Yeah.
At 8:20 tomorrow. Nationally ranked Crowder, hoping to come to Grand Junction once again. So we'll
Sneaky,
talk with him.
Tough region they're in.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk with him. And then 9 o'clock tomorrow, Ryan Harris from Altitude, starting right tackle for the Broncos in Super Bowl 50. Get his thoughts about the draft tomorrow night and the casting of, look, if Nomadland can win an Oscar for Best
Shape
Picture.
Of Water.
Yeah. I can't say the one phrase about the one description of that film. I can't say it. But it kind of really hits.
Uh-huh.
It encapsulates the movie perfectly.
It captures the essence.
But I can't say it. But our film.
This summer.
Omaha!
Coming to a theater near you.
The look I'm best known for is Blue Steel.
Okay, we'll ask Ryan about some of the casting that we did for the movie. I'm sure most of them will go, what?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Robert Pattinson? Bobby Pattinson's going to play Brock Osweiler? Mr. Sparkle?
Mm-hmm. Brock Osweiler just got a whole lot shinier.
William Shatner as Bill Belichick? On to Cincinnati.
I'd like to challenge that call.
Tom. Okay, I think that's enough of that. 9:53. And let's wrap it up some garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
Okay, in the garage too.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, Montrose Ford Nissan, by the way. Do you have anything this morning?
I do not.
Okay, I have a discovery that I made this week on TV. You know who Ron Livingston is, right? Was in Office Space.
Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers. He's great on that show. Mm-hmm. Going to be in the new Flash movie. They were cast to Billy Crudup with Ron Livingston to play the Flash's dad. But there's a show called Loudermilk. And I found it on Amazon. And it's Ron Livingston. And I'd never heard of this show before. I'm not even sure which platform, whatever. I just found it on there. And he's a guy that is a... He used to be a rock and roll reporter for Rolling Stone and traveled with bands. And it's a little bit like Almost Famous with Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
But he's this guy that was drug and alcohol issues. And now he's clean and sober. And now he's a drug and alcohol counselor along with he cleans office buildings. He's kind of fallen on harder times, but he's got himself straight and he's an absolute total jerk. It's a really funny show. It's called Loudermilk. So that's like my little recommendation today. If you can find it, it's really, really funny. Trust me, you'll... I know you don't like Letterkenny. I know, but I think you will like this one.
Okay.
Will Sasso's in it. Guy used to be on Mad TV. But Ron Livingston is a very funny guy in his own very dry way.
If
you liked
is.
Office Space, you're going to like Loudermilk.
Yeah. Quick tweet from Paul Kane.
Okay.
The Foundation baseball game between Grand Junction and Palisade is now going to be Saturday at Saplesio Field at 10 a.m. due to CMU canceling their series with Colorado Christian, and it's free.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
So that's this Saturday at 10 over at Saplesio. Thank you, Paul, for tweeting that out. Appreciate that. All right, that's our show today. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 7 o'clock right here on the Team Sports Network. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim. Jim Rome is up next.